and
Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien. Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, and I'm coming to you live right now, can you imagine, on Come Now, Don't Sulk, our regular Monday night broadcast. We're part of the Here Be Monsters studio right here on Blog Talk Radio Network, and we are literally podcasting or broadcasting live all around the world. That's the wonder of the internet now. We don't have radio stations and towers and things being blocked by Mount Kilimanjaro or valleys and black spots that you can't get broadcasting. No, it's everywhere that the internet can go. And we have listeners right now in Madagascar, in Germany, in California, in Dayton, Ohio, and in Hong Kong. So it's really very exciting to be part of the human family and perhaps some of the animal world, too, if they're listening, all around the world. Our sponsor tonight, of course, is, as always, daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And we're brought to you by listeners just like you. Thank you. Tonight, before we do anything, I have to introduce my co-star, my cohort, my co-mischief maker, and of course she really is not a co, she is the head, so she's the head lady really. I am merely an ornament on her Christmas tree. Our producer and the founder of daughtersofisis.com is none other than Gwendolyn Holden Berry. You can tell she's important, she has three names. Whenever you hear three names, you always know it's very important, don't you? Someone with two names, I think it'd be some barnyard animal. I had a goat with two names. He was called Mr. Ferguson, but that's another story for another time. But Gwendolyn Holden Berry is the founder, and she is our producer. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
Oh, just another oozes.
Okay, I don't know if that answer was inspired by a piece of whiskey or by medication, but I'm hoping that I hope that you're doing well. Did you have a good Easter?
I had a very nice Easter. The kids came over, and I'm going to be a great aunt. In October, another branch of the family, and they say it's going to be a boy, and it's the first time. I'm live confession here. I have never been wrong till my own family, and I said it's a girl. I know it's a girl, and the sonogram says, "Was that little thing there?"
Uh-oh.
And the father, who is my nephew, who's got a touch of the shine or more, he thought it was a girl too. So I don't feel so bad. But my gosh, We're just really, really happy. Going to be October, a Libra baby, and to an Aries and Gemini parent unit. And it was a really nice, we had brunch this year, not dinner. We had a brunch. Did you have a brunch?
We sort of did. We didn't, since I'm not really a Christian, so to speak, though spiritual, I'm not particularly religious in any denomination. So I am as cheerful with Passover as I am with Ramadan and Easter and whatever else.
Ostara season. This is the goddess Ostara or Ishtar, and she is Mother Nature in her finest bloom with colored flowers. So lots of rabbits.
Exactly. And, of course, a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're in the northern hemisphere, because if we were down in Australia, it would be fall, and so
that's
we wouldn't
true.
Be quite so springy. Yes. We would be a little bit different. So knowing that about the world, I like to think about the fact that it's just it's a beautiful time of year for me where I am on the planet Earth. And so we celebrated just being surrounded by spring, and even that was pulled out from under us because we've had like 4 days with 30-degree weather. And then Mummy bought baskets of flowers to put into the garden, and now here I am dragging them in and out of the garage as the temperature drops. You know, I water them during the day, and they get some gray sort of daylight, not sunlight, and then I put them back in the garage at night. And tonight, for instance, it's 30-something here in the just outside of Philadelphia, and it's, you know, nearly sleeting. It's raining and almost sleeting, and we're in the second half of April. So whatever. I try to just go with the flow. You know, if Mother Nature has decided that it's going to be chilly, all I can do is try and rescue her little children, and that's what these flowers, some of these flowers are not happy with 30-degree weather, you know, and chilly rain and everything. Some of them are saying, what the hell is going on? So, and I went back to the greenhouses that we buy from, the nurseries. We buy from Terrain and from Braxton's and a couple of others. And they all were, like, you know, rushing around with tarps and trying to drag their plants all in on carts under, you know, sort of shed, huge sheds to preserve them and put on the space heaters, because it's cold. It's severely cold. I'm a little concerned some things are not going to make it. They grew too much, and now I think the foliage is going to take a real hit. So whatever. But you know what? I'm just grateful for the, as I say every time on a tourette, be present, be mindful, be grateful, you know, be in the world and of the world. You have to be in it, and you have to be a part of it, and that's it. And you have to deal with what – I'm looking out the window right now, and it is driving rain on our driveway right now. It's like pounding rain, and, you know, in the cold of the night. So it is what it is, and that is – it's good sleeping weather. There's my thank you. It's cozy. I love curling up in bed and looking out the window and seeing the rain pour outside. That's nice for me. I'm fine with that. I want to ask you a question, as soon as we have callers come in, I want to have them join us too. Wayne will probably call in, maybe Kim, possibly Pamela.
Wayne's already here.
Good. Let me introduce him to the audience. Ladies and gentlemen at home, one of our regular guests, and we think of him as a panelist on our family, is Wayne Johnson. Wayne, welcome.
Well, thank you, and happy Easter, happy Passover, and happy Ramadan.
Thank you. I'm going to invite other people to our phone number, by the way. You all are equals on our show. That's Mummy being an Aquarius. The whole world is part of the family. 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Before we get
have
any
another
farther
caller.
On the show. Oh, good. It probably is Kim. Kim, are you there?
I'm opening it up. There we go.
Yes. Yeah.
Kimberly's there. Good. And let's just introduce ourselves. Mummy, I am coming. It's Sybil Brunchen. I'm coming to you from just outside of Philadelphia. And Gwendolyn is coming to you from Port St. Lucie, Florida. And Wayne is coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland.
Annapolis.
And Kimberly, what?
Annapolis, Maryland.
Annapolis, Maryland, of course, the capital.
Capital.
How could I be so careless? Yes.
I don't know.
And Kimberly, where are you coming from?
Manhattan, Kansas.
There you go. So what a cross-section of America. It's kind of nice, although we're all in the eastern half of the United States. We wanted to invite you at home to call in 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. I want to just give Gwendolyn a few minutes. Gwendolyn, it's April. For me, it's wintry. Kimberly is having rough weather out in the Midwest, I know. And, Wayne, it's sort of my weather thing. Do you have a fragrance that we should connect with on the Daughters of Isis menu? Is there something that's good for the second half of April?
Well, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to take advantage this week of the little spot you give me to boast and to proclaim. It is our anniversary on May Day. And right now, through the month of May, all of our Egyptian sensual Egypt products and all of our kelp products, the witch oils and those, are all on a big sale of 22% off. So everything in that category is worth going over and taking a great big look at. We have money mist and money oil, which is very popular and has a very nice scent. We also put the money perfume on sale too. So I'm just blasting out for Daughters of Isis tonight and our 31st anniversary sale.
Amazing. Congratulations. I know we all congratulate you on your 31st anniversary. And I want to, because sometimes our reception is a little tricky, you kept saying money. And I want to emphasize for our home audience that it's money, M-O-N, as in Nancy, E-Y. It's a fragrance that actually inspires the abundance and money, not mummy, as in Sybil Brunson, although Gwendolyn and I have talked extensively, especially among her Egyptian fragrances, and that I am older than dirt, that she should make a mummy line of Sybil Brunson embalming fragrances. These are the sorts of things that don't necessarily make you feel young, but certainly preserve you, especially if you're wearing bandages head to toe. So tonight, shop for money. And
well,
in a few weeks, we'll come up with the Sybil Brunson mummy line. Does that work?
Do you know if I did an embalming line that was Egyptian-based, it would be extraordinarily fragrant because they used exotic oils in their funerary processes.
Right.
And frankincense and myrrh, just the top of the column, there's several. And always remember that the white lotus, which is an absolute, and the blue lotus, which is an effleurage and very rare, are Egyptian scents that are, extraordinary florals. So when
so there you
say,
go.
Funerary, it's going to be sweet.
Yes, and let's not be afraid of the word funerary. Let's go towards the word.
No.
For instance, as a stand-up comedian, I have died repeatedly on stage and wished that I had a fragrance that would be funerary and preserving, that even as I escaped under a hail of rotten tomatoes and eggs, I could still go out in the back alley and spritz something on and still feel that I was viable. And certainly lotus or cinnamon or nutmeg or coriander or anything would be lovely after failing on stage. So please, 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 when you go tonight to daughtersofisis.com, all one word, during our show, go to their website, check out their fragrances, and know that their entire Egyptian line is on sale right now, and also that they have a wonderful fragrance line called Money. It's a dollar sign on the label. It's wonderful. And that soon we will have a mummy line, and that will be things that Sybil Brunson would wear. All right. Thank you, Gwendolyn. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'm throwing the show open, and I'm going to, because many years ago I did a show called Tomorrow's Television Tonight. It was also on Monday nights. It broadcast out of New York's 23rd Street studios. It was the HBO studios there. And we had 12 columnists, and we had art critics, and we had Broadway and film critic and a book reviewer. Deborah Copeland was our book reviewer. Deborah, I hope you're listening tonight. And we had all these people, and I was hired as a columnist, and my section was called Carte Blanche, and it meant that the producers gave me the allowance to be anything I wanted that night. So my section of the show was whatever topic I wanted to cover, and it was often political satire and things like that. So Carte Blanche, this was 35 years ago when cable was just beginning. Cable TV was just beginning. As a matter of fact, we were on Channel J. There were only 10 channels. There were only 10 channels, A through J, and it was on a little tiny shoebox on top of your TV, and you went over, and there was no remote. You pressed the switches, and
the
it was very primitive.
Yeah.
So tonight, in honor of that, I am inviting my favorite people, Kimberly, Wayne, mm-hmm. Gwendolyn. If Pamela calls in, that'll be lovely. It's carte blanche. You may bring up a topic tonight and address it. It's spring. New things are coming out of the ground, new shoots, new ideas. So why don't we start with Kimberly? And Kimberly, I mean this seriously, anything you want to tell us, something you want to bring up, something you want feedback on, something you don't want feedback on, you just want to tell us. So what would you, it's your show right now, tell us something. What would you love to talk about tonight?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm sitting here eating dinner. I don't want to go first.
Kimberly, the wonderful thing is, first of all, you're a medical professional, so you're actually an extremely educated woman, and you also are in the 21st century, and you also happen to be just a damn good gardener. Maybe you want to tell us something about gardening. Don't you feel like I'm a gardener and I'm surrounded by people that are killing plants left and right? Maybe there's something you want to educate us about and tell us about. A gardening tip?
Here's one. This year, after your spring blooming trees bloom, if you'd like to prune them, get on it pretty quickly because they will put their buds for next year on at the end of the summer. So don't prune too late on your spring blooming shrubs and trees.
That's genius. That's genius. First of all, you've saved all sorts of non-gardeners from their disappointment, their heartbreak. And I must tell you something, Kimberly. This is very serious. I see people who, although they don't hate plants, they resent plants when they, and I quote unquote, disappoint them or betray them. So there are people that buy a plant, a house plant or tulip bulbs or a bush for their yard or a tree, where we're starting to get up into hundreds of dollars here in expense. And then when the tree or the bush or even the hyacinth bulbs in the aluminum foil pot don't behave the way they want them to, they get cross with them and then neglect and or actively kill them. They throw them in the garbage. They do this. They chop them down. I'm going through this battle right now in this little neighborhood. I'm in a little development, and they are traditionally sprinkling pounds and pounds of mulch on top of all of the grounds because this aesthetic has taken over of these vast plots of black tar under trees and bushes. So when I grew up and when my grandmother was teaching me how to start gardening when I was only 4 and 5 years old, the aesthetic back then was that under a tree you either had grass growing or you had flowers. No one had bare soil in gardens, in yards. No one had a bare yard with plots of brown dirt or black dirt. Whatever was empty like that was being planted. And you either planted vegetables or flowers or you put in a bush or whatever. No one had a 30-foot radius around a bush that was black. This is a strange aesthetic.
And the trees hate that. I mean, the trees hate to have that mulch up next to them. Their roots that come to the top need to breathe.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought this up. This was not something I was going to bring up, and yet this has become a battleground in our homeowners association thing here because the landscapers are literally mounding up under the trees year after year, pounds and pounds, not only of mulch, it's not even organic mulch anymore, it's what I call creosote mulch. It's that black tar that if you pick it up, you look at it and you suddenly realize, oh, it's chopped up bark, so it's dead trees that they've killed and mulched, and then they've soaked it with weed killer and chemicals. And if you drop it out of your hand is not, you have to go wash your hand thoroughly with Dawn dish soap. You have to, because it's oil. It's literally like an oil spill under a plant. And so what it's doing is it's not only killing grass, it's keeping anything from growing. But when people make the mistake of planting daffodil bulbs around in different places or a hydrangea bush or something near the tree, that black tar is suffocating and poisoning everything. And it sits there wet and not breathing, as you said. It's not letting oxygen or nitrogen through. It's like you have a wet mattress on the ground around your tree. We had a gardening show on just last week on PBS in our area, and the guy's name is Mike, and he has a show called You Bet Your Garden. And he was addressing a phone call from someone saying, I think that this tar, this stuff, is killing my tree and all the things that I'm planting around it. And Mike jumped in and said, absolutely. It's designed to suck all of the nutrients out and to keep grass or anything from weeds, so to speak, from growing there. So we neighbors on this little
they're being lazy. The landscapers don't want to have to weed.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And not only that, but I believe they're being paid a commission. I believe that they're being paid by the pound of this stuff that they spread. And by the way, they spread 3 to 6 to 9 inches of it every year. So it doesn't disintegrate down like a forest does. When a trees drop their leaves, and I'm talking about trees that are 10 stories high, when they drop their leaves, what they have dropped is all crumbly and airy and disintegrates. Trees don't bury their trunks under a foot of mulch every year. And the problem is that, very simply for the non-gardeners, a seed hits the ground, and if that seed is lucky enough to get enough water and nutrients and sun, it begins to sprout. But Mother Nature is so clever. She's so damn clever. Okay, so I don't care if you believe in a Christian God or a Jewish God, whoever you're believing in, that being is so clever, because the way the seed works is the seed is there on the ground, and then part of it becomes the upper growth, and the other part of it becomes the root system. But the seed has decided, based on where it is on the dirt, to do that. It doesn't need a year later to have 3 feet of soil piled on it and have to figure out again how to do that. Most plants will not be able to do that because they've already made the decision and the division between upper air growth and ground growth. The trunk is different from the roots. But if you take a plant that you've tried, and I don't care if it's a tulip or an oak, and you have it growing in the ground, and then you walk up to it the following April and you take a bucket of crap, even organic crap, let alone tar crap, and you pile it on it, the chances are the plant is going to say, I don't know what to do. I can't go on. You can't ask a young plant that is just starting out and is a year into its life to grow through 2 feet of mulch. It just won't happen. And it's just so weird. So human beings are going around creating these man-made landslides around perfectly beautiful trees or flower beds. I told you last year that my flower beds in my front yard were mulched when I was out of the house. I was in town, and I came home, and the gardener, the landscapers had buried all of my flowers, all of the new shoots coming up. On April 15th, April 12th, they had buried them under a foot of tar. That tar. Thunderstruck. And I even showed you on a Tourette. I posted a Tourette and I showed you what it was shocking. People were stunned. Irises buried, completely buried. And I had to go out there with a toothbrush and a whisk broom and do the whole driveway, the whole gardens on both sides, 30 feet of it, and brush it all out. The gardeners came by and asked me what I was doing, and I said, oh, well, we'll come by and we'll blow it away with the blowers. I said, you can't do that. If you try to blow this wet stuff out, you'll end up sort of blowing it, but you'll be blowing down all the shoots that are being chopped up in the blowers. So I have to do this by hand. And this year I stopped them. I sent in an email to the gardeners and the homeowners association saying, please avoid my front yard of driveways. And what's interesting is the neighbors all around me emailed in and requested the same thing. And
sure,
and things that weren't growing at all. You just saw the sort of dead twigs. This year, because we did not get mulched, either tar mulch or organic mulch, because there was no mulch put on it, we have hydrangeas beginning to come back. We have tulips beginning to come back. Our center circle on our courtyard here has begun to sprout, because none of those things, whether it's perennial flowers or bushes, are struggling against mulch and poison, mulch and poison and weed suppressant. I love that expression. Well, this is just weed suppressant, Sybil. Weed suppressant means weed killer. Weed killer equals kills everything. There are no weed killers that say, oh, well, we landed on a rose bush, we're not going to challenge that. No. A rose bush starts to really struggle and get spotty and sick and then is vulnerable to diseases or just gives up. We have a tree in my backyard, a maple, that's 30 years old, that's dying. Why? Because they kept mounding this stuff underneath it, and they caused all the roots to girdle. Girdling roots means that the roots are growing into this dome. Instead of being underground, they're being tricked into growing above ground, and then because there's only a dome, what they're doing is they're winding around the tree inside and finally strangle the tree. We're losing a maple tree. And no one listened to me last year. No one. I begged people to do something about it because the tree was getting sick. The way you know the tree was sick was in the spring, instead of sending out leaves, it was sending out the little whirligigs, the little whirly things that come off maple trees, which is what
seeds?
The seeds. It was seeding.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is why.
Seeds, yeah.
Mother Nature, very clever. There are many, many, many plants. Many plants. I include orchids, for instance. If they are being challenged too much and if they are getting sick, what they do is, this is very interesting and sad. A plant, many different species, will send out offspring. It will try and create young as it's dying. It's like Mother Nature is saying, this plant is going, and its last gasp of energy and life is to create seeds or new shoots of orchids, it's a device to keep the species going. It would be like a human being, a mother with leukemia, a woman with leukemia, and she's dying, and suddenly she's hyper-fertile and goes into pregnancy and has a baby. We don't do that, but it would be like that. It would be like a mother cat with cancer. She's dying, and instead of just dying, she produces a litter of 8 kittens, as if this is her legacy. Well, plants do things like that. And our tree last year in March, when everything else was greening and starting to have leaves, our one tree started to have seeds come out all over. I was horrified. I knew immediately, and I told people. I told neighbors, I told our next door neighbors on either side, then I told my landlords, because we're renting here, we didn't buy, and they were concerned, and my landlord was mortified. She said, we're going to lose our beautiful tree. I said, yep, on the hillside. And she contacted the homeowners association, and there was some dumb bitch who was in charge of the landscaping committee, and she ignored it, and she sort of hemmed and hawed and ignored emails, and it got worse and worse. And by the end of the summer, the tree had dropped its seeds, it had no leaves, and you know, that was it. And I called an arborist on my own expense and had an arborist come, and he said, boy, did you read this right? That's absolutely right. Let me chop up some of these roots that are girdled and see if we can rescue this tree. But he said, I don't hold a lot of hope. It's gone too far. And sure enough, there are trees all around this tree that are leafing now, and my tree has no seeds. It has nothing. It's dead. So, and it's a tree that's 6 stories high. It is a drop-dead, beautiful maple that is 6 stories high. It towers over our house, towers over. And by the way, it towers over it and provides speckly shade not only in our living room but on our back deck. So our whole back experience of this house on the hill is that this tree is gone. And both of my neighbors on either side are sorry to see it go too. And it's because of girdled roots. So I took over that conversation, Kim, and I'm sorry about that. That's typical me. But
no,
I am so glad what you brought up,
because
you're learning. Well, but what you brought up, Kim, was so wonderful, because that is the whole thing. If you have a tree that flowers, you get your ass out there and or hire someone to do it. Do what Kim says. I don't care if it's a magnolia. I don't care if it's a rhododendron or whatever it is, wisteria. You get it pruned. You get as many blossoms off it as you can. You do as much as you can and keep – and this is – the gay boys will love this. Foliage plants like to – they don't like to be gangly. They don't like to get all dangly and strung out and long and droopy. They like to be kind of muscular. They kind of like to be pruned and kept compact and muscular. And if you do that, as Kim says, the plants that will bud in the summer for next year's blooming will be doing what they're supposed to do. And for instance, your forsythia, instead of being like 8-foot long canes that are tipping over and falling into the mud, you trim it back and you'll, my father had hedges that were dense, and they were, nobody knew they were forsythia until the spring. So they just looked like these green boxwood hedges that were dense. You couldn't see through them, right, on our property. And then in the spring, they would be blocks of yellow. They would be these muscular, dense, you couldn't see through them forsythias that were heartbreaking. Roses. Don't let your roses get like all these sad little canes sticking up in the air with one blossom on the end of each one, and it just looks like this sad bunch of sticks with, you know, roses up on the top. Keep it trimmed down and muscular. It should look like Alice in Wonderland's rose bushes. It should be a block of foliage with roses all through it, scattered through it. That's what that plant wants. Mother Nature does some things right, and then other things Mother Nature is not as, you know, she's not concerned about us having lots of roses on our rose bush. She's more interested in having them produce seeds and multiply, and that's it, and move on. But when we prune properly and when we deadhead things, we're tricking nature into being dense and healthy. So our perennials are not going to seed. They're staying sort of beautiful. And our annuals keep – petunias, marigolds. When you deadhead them, you're fighting nature. Nature wants a marigold to bloom and then those blooms to die and turn into seeds. The seeds fall to the ground. And if the marigold withers, then that's fine because Mother Nature was only interested in next year's growth, right, the generational growth. But we want flowers. So if you've planted marigolds, snip off those blossoms that go when they're dead. For every blossom you snip, you'll get two. You will multiply them. It's mathematical. And what you will have is you will have a garden full of beautiful flowers, healthy plants that may last all season, through the whole season. And then that's what you did it for, you know? Perennials will bloom maybe once. They'll be beautiful. You prune off those blossoms so you're not exhausting the plant. And then the plant will be a nice, healthy, green plant. And it will be what I'm doing in the front yard of my house. I'm creating a wild garden, a forest garden. So everything is different blooming times. Things bloom and they go, and the one next to it is blooming, and this one's blooming, and then that one fades, and another one down the way blooms. So try and be surgical. And what better advice did we get from our medical professional than surgery? Surgery in the garden. I thank you, Kimberly Young.
You're welcome.
Very good. Very good.
Kim, what are the bushes that we should be watching for to prune?
What my point wasn't that they needed prune. However, they can need prune. My point was, don't wait too late after the buds
yes.
are set. Even though you can't see them, they are there before the at the end of the summer. And people will wait till it starts getting cold, and they're like, "Oh, I forgot to prune that," and they cut off next year's blooms unintentionally. That was my point.
I knew that, and I was trying to riff on that. Right at the beginning was that you.
Okay.
Bushes are? But what species? There are certain bushes that we should do that to. Like, would a magnolia be one? What are some of the things that we should be doing?
Well, the magnolia, you want to get their blooms off, but you don't have to. They'll be fine if you don't. But
okay.
There are certain types of hydrangea, like the big leaf hydrangeas. You need to cut them back. And then there's several different hydrangea varieties. You just have to look what type you have, because some of them – flower on old wood and some of them flower on new wood. So you have to look what type of hydrangea you have to know how much you need to prune them back. So that's my best advice on hydrangeas. I have several different varieties, but anyway.
If in a worst-case scenario, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, if a person doesn't know what kind of hydrangeas they have because they moved into a house and they were already planted, you mm-hmm. could, if I'm not mistaken, err on the side of not caution. You could cut your hydrangea all the way to the ground and still have it resprout, or is that not correct?
Well, they'll resprout, but if a flower's on new growth, then you're good to go. If a flower's on old wood, then you've screwed yourself, and that's where you need to be careful and find out what kind you have. But
right.
You can kind of tell by looking at them. It's a lot more complicated than I can explain on the over this.
So they should Google. They should maybe Google or go to YouTube and ask, mm-hmm. Hydrangea species, hydrangeas, should I prune it or not? Why don't we, that's what we'll do. We'll suggest that in this wonderful age of technology, if you have a question about this sort of stuff, the best thing to do is to go to Google and probably even YouTube, because millions of people are posting unbelievable videos now
mm-hmm.
on everything mm-hmm. from brain surgery to
Agreed.
Pruning hydrangeas.
Agreed.
So you could get anything. All right, Kim, thank you for that. That whole subject and starting us on that and making sure that we do something. I really feel nice that you did that, Kim, because it breaks my heart when non-gardeners start chopping things down or digging things out or throwing things away without trusting that a plant is a pretty good pet to have. If you can't have a cat or a dog, a plant in the garden or a house plant, they are pretty wonderful. They're pretty loving, and they will make you feel.
I do have one more that's really time sensitive for now for spring that people tend to do and they mess up. And I know you know this, but a lot of people don't. On your tulips and daffodils and all of your spring blooming plants, yes, cut the dead blooms off, but most importantly, leave the foliage to get sun and let it die back all itself. It's the only way it can nourish the bulb to increase.
See,
you have
Kim,
to leave the foliage.
I tell people that all the time, and
don't
people get so
over.
Angry
don't
with their
over.
Bulbs and everything. And I say, no, especially irises. So irises bloom, and they don't even have blooms that maybe last as long. Daffodils are ridiculous. Daffodils last for weeks. My God, a stand of daffodils where I live here in Pennsylvania, my God, they come out of the ground. They're sunny and yellow. They're absolutely beautiful, and they weather 30-degree weather, and they stand there for weeks on end before they finally fade. Tulips, not so much. But as Kim said, as soon as you see anything, crocuses, tulips, daffodils, narcissus, any of them, hyacinths, when the bloom goes, help the plant live. The way you help it is to cut, take scissors that are very, very sharp, very, very sterile, make sure that they're clean, and go down to the bottom of the stem of the flower and snip it off. Do not ever cut the leaves. The leaves, as Kim said, are storing energy. They're getting it's photosynthesis. They're absorbing sunlight week after week after week. They are feeding the bulbs so that next year they will come back even better. When the leaves collapse, when they finally fall over, then you can take sterile scissors. As they start dying. That's when they're dying. They stand up in the air. Tulip leaves, lovely. Iris leaves are glorious. Those spears of them, the wonderful, they look like sort of spears of them. Leave those as beautiful foliage in the garden. But when they fall down, when they faint and literally lie on the ground, that means they're finished. They're finishing. And you can take clean scissors and you cut those leaves down and keep them. Get rid of them. As a matter of fact, if you tune into one of my Tourette's, I do a thing about how to cut iris leaves so that they're still functioning, but they're groomed and are pretty for the garden. Because a lot of people say, oh, these leaves are so ugly, and then they kill them before they're ready. So please don't do that. But cut the dead flowers away, but leave the leaves in place,
yeah.
And you will have even healthier plants next year. You'll be shocked at what you have next year. Okay? So, Kim, you did it twice tonight. Two wonderful, wonderful announcements of what we need to do. And thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Now, I want to go to Wayne. Wayne?
Okay.
Carte blanche.
Well, okay, carte blanche is, you know, this is the spring. As we'll just continue on with the positive. It's spring. There's new growth. There's new life going out. And I like to go out for a walk. We have very nice natural and manicured parks right here, not more than 3 miles away from my condo. Matter of fact, right next to my condo is Truxton Park, which is a state/city park. Nature, and there's playgrounds and things like that, but I like walking downtown or in the more wilderness park just to be myself. You know, like, I'm like you. I am not, I'm spiritual, but I am not going to subscribe to, Christianity or anything else like that. It's just, I find nature more in the Celtic aspect or of nature. God is nature, and Frank Lloyd Wright was like that.
I agree
and
completely.
And I like to go out to a walk. You're hearing the wind rustling through the new growth leaves. You see the animals, you know, the birds and stuff, you know, mating and building nests and things like this. You become one with nature because you know that you yourself, even being a human being, that you're really part of this cycle of nature. And that's where I find my spirituality.
I agree completely. That's why I close all of my Tourette's with part of it is be in the world and of the world. That it's
there
important.
You go.
Human beings do not think of themselves as in the world or of the world.
Yeah.
We're somehow special and better, and we can do what we want, and we can march through the garden of the world and with our big muddy boots and trample things, and that's just the way it goes. We trample beings, we trample feelings, we trample other destinies. We are very invested in just being a giant, dirty diapered, spoiled infant, 800 feet tall, trampling on everything that is around us. We just poop and trample. There's no better image. The ugliest baby you've ever seen in your life with a filthy diaper, get it 800 feet high and then put a banner on it, a wonderful ribbon like a Miss America thing, and have it glittered in letters saying the human race. That's what it is. It is a big, dangerous baby that is just entitled to do whatever it wants. And I'm with you. I like tonight before the show, I was out on my front stoop. It was pouring. I was just in enough to be out of the rain. And I was marveling at the fact that I'm living in suburbia, but I could hear the rain hitting the leaves on the trees.
Yes.
The sound of the rain hitting the leaves. And that's why, you know, I hope that when I die, which is unfortunate but necessary, I hope that I die at night, and I hope that I die near the ocean so I have the sound of the waves. Mm-hmm. I hope that I die during a rainstorm or a thunderstorm, even better, so that there's low rolling thunder and some lightning and then rain hitting the roof of a cottage and the leaves on a tree nearby, and then the ocean in the background, that soft rolling sound of the waves. And if you really want to make it perfect, put a cat in my lap that I feel
kitty cats are nice.
Yeah, so that a cat is there to see me over to the other side, and I'm having purring, rain, ocean, lightning, thunder, and that heartbreaking amount of beauty. That would be like winning the lottery in a funerary situation. And, of course, then a fragrance by daughtersofisis.com, folks at home.
Right,
something that is the right fragrance, perhaps even with my name on it, called Mummy. There you go. So,
let's look at our history. you know, of the, you know, those who came from Europe here to settle this wilderness continent. And
yeah.
they came here with the mindset of we need to conquer nature. Look
yeah.
at our folklore, Paul Bunyan. These accolades of going in, and he has this axe, and he could just, you know, with a swing of one axe, clear acres and acres of
Shocking.
Trees and forest and stuff. It's like that's kind of been our legacy for too long, and we never step back. You know, what, you know, just like the song, you don't know what you have until it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, tear down with nature and put up a parking lot or some shit like that. You know.
Yes, kind of throwing
yeah.
Peggy Lee under the bus there
yeah.
without, you know,
yeah,
without a fucking version of Is That All There Is? I mean.
Well, I do want to point out, and this is a little known fact, that you have never seen Paul Bunyan and Peggy Lee at the same cocktail party at the same time.
Wow, that's interesting.
And even more disturbingly... Well, I'll just leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But,
you don't let the people in Texas down there know that. They'll have a whole new conspiracy.
That's funny. All right, Gwendolyn, we're throwing it in your court now. What would you like to say about tonight? Carte blanche. Anything you want to say? Any topic you want to talk about?
I dove into the dark end yesterday after everybody left because I saw this incredible – and I went and read it, even though I have my own ban on news, the statistics that are being compiled on suicide, youth suicide, and it's children that the suicide rate is growing in. And all I could think was, and don't say gay. And so if I were going to throw, and I'm not trying to be a downer here, folks, because I like to laugh, I like to have a good time, and I like to keep it on the upside. But when children are in the mix, especially thinking about, you know, the way I was taught by my teachers was you're doing everything you do for the generations to come. And the children are the most, and I have such good faith, I really do, in the youth of today and the young people and what they can accomplish if we give them the opportunity to. And when there's children, because if you take a look historically, it is not, even when children were being put into workhouses, you remember, Mummy knows this because she knows her history, you know, the children that were at work in all of those pitiful factories in New York and the turn of the last century and such. Even at that time, children did not take their own lives. They died because they were put in jeopardy, but they did not take their... And now children are making that choice. And you have leadership that is ignorant, willfully mean, willfully cruel to their constituency. I just think that, you know, this is building into a crescendo, and the only thing that's going to stop it is proper mothering. Women need to get into power. They do. That's my gig today.
Well, you all know me, and you know that I've claimed to be a bully, and my particular bullying is directed and has been since I was little, at bullies. So I am a bit like, what was that TV show about the serial killer who killed killers?
Dexter.
What was it?
No.
Yes.
Dexter.
Yes, Dexter.
Dexter, right? It was Dexter.
Dexter, down in Miami Beach, yes.
Okay, and the premise was that he was a serial killer and that he went around and killed serial killers.
Yeah.
He went around and murdered people. And he did it rather horribly, too. He was rather, it was kind of wonderfully, deliciously gory how he would dispose of these people. And his victims were always murderers. And
right.
I'm that. In a world where I could get away with it, I would probably actually do that. You know, and my goal after death is to come back as an avenging and dangerous poltergeist. I wouldn't mind coming back as someone who made a point of like victimizing victimizers, and that would be I would really enjoy that. Anyway, to make a long story short, this whole thing, and I don't want to close the show on a grim note, but the don't say gay thing, the taking away of Roe versus Wade to women, we have people bullying women, children, handicapped people. There's this whole, it's just, it goes on and on and on. And I just... I wish that COVID or Mother Nature, I wish that they were selective. I wish that they were brutal. I wish that people who were carrying COVID into places because they hadn't gotten vaxxed and they weren't wearing masks and they were endangering people, I just wish that Mother Nature was as unsentimental as she seems to be, but be more efficient. Mother Nature is not quite as efficient as I need her to be. And this whole don't say gay thing is loathsome. And the people that promote it are loathsome. And there's no punishment too terrible for people that hurt animals or children or nature or victimize women. There is no penalty too terrible. So that's it. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I feel strongly about that.
I'm sorry
that we live in a world where there isn't a herd of jackals, or there isn't a pod of spiders, or there isn't a nest full of snakes. I don't know what it is. I wish there was something that would come and take and weed out the population. You know what? Pruning? We need to prune the human race is what we need to do, because we have a lot of very dangerous undergrowth in the human species. We have a lot of cancerous growth. You know, what do we do with cancer? We don't bargain with it. We're not polite to it. We don't try to reason with cancer. Cancer, you identify it, and if you can't cut it out immediately, what you do is you poison it or you radiate it, and once it's shrunk a little bit, you snip it out and you throw it in the inferno. And we've gotten to a world where we're just being polite to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
It's
a walking tumor.
Yes, I agree there. Oh my gosh, yes.
You want to see Marjorie Taylor Greene? Go to Google, enter liver tumor, and then go to images and look. Go to a flea market sale of old medical books. You know what? Kim has done this. Kim has looked at these. When I worked at New York Hospital, you would everyone smile. You might get a little morbid, and you think, you know, there's an old 1890s book on skin cancer. I'm going to look at it. You'd open it up, and on page 398, there would be something that would turn you to stone. It was the pictures of illness, tapeworms, bizarre parasites, diseases that exist only in the tropics. You look at those, and suddenly you're in the bathtub for 4 hours scrubbing with steel wool. You're like, oh, my God, my God, my God, that could happen to me. Well, that's Marjorie Taylor Greene. Turn to page 398 about, you know, Ferguson's tapeworm, you know, or Millie Cyrus's hideous clubfoot thing, and turn to that and then say, oh, it's Mitch McConnell. There's Kevin McCarthy. There's a woman with a third eye in the middle of her forehead, which is the size of a grapefruit and falling off her face. There's Kevin McCarthy. You know, there it is. And we keep being polite. You don't be polite to a growth like that. You try to save the patient, and the patient is the human race. You save the patient. If that tumor has got to come off, get it off there and get it out. But we keep voting for it. Marjorie Taylor Greene gets reelected. I don't understand. Please explain it to me. Anyway.
Anyway. I think she's only been elected. I think she's a freshman, and the only reason why she won was nobody ran against her.
Yeah. Well, it's a very dire situation in Georgia. poor Stacey Abrams. Did you hear about her? Stacey Abrams is limited in the money she can raise for her election, for her political run, but the incumbent is unlimited in the amount of money he can raise. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
But you know, Stacy will get a whole lot of free on social networks and stuff because people are supporting her that have large audiences, you know, like folks like Jamie Lee Curtis and not Catherine, that's the daughter. What's her name? Arnold Schwarzenegger's ex.
Maria Shriver. Right.
Isn't it interesting to see where Schwarzenegger and, you know, obviously the Cheneys, both of them, mm-hmm. and Karl Rove, it's interesting to see how the enemies of yesteryear, you know, the George Bush
mm-hmm.
crowd,
mm-hmm.
is looking at its hands and looking down at its feet in embarrassment, in mortification and embarrassment at how right-wing the Republican Party has gone and how they are trying to separate themselves from all of that. Schwarzenegger is like an educated, he's an intellectual now by comparison.
Yeah.
Karl Rove.
Oh, jeez.
What were you going to say?
I'm going to say this. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a Republican. These people that we call Republicans are not Republicans.
Right.
They're greedy. They're bent. They're a lot of them, I think, have some mental problems, illnesses, some deep-seated mm-hmm. issues going on. And I don't think they're Republicans, but the biggest thing they all are, greedy. Greedy for attention, greedy for money, and greedy to be, you know, the one they look at when you walk in the room.
Hey,
I agree.
Glenn, Jack Kemp was as dumb as an oyster. And when I told him in 2005 that, you know, this embracing of the Tea Party, which is nothing more than the Klansmen, the John Birch Society, the fanatically wingnut religious, his reply to me was, well, it's a good demographic to get motivated at election time, you know, when you need to whip up the nut jobs.
Right.
Quote, unquote.
Well,
jobs took over the asylum.
We've got 5 minutes left. You're absolutely right. We're down to the countdown here. I just want to say thank you so much, Kim. Thank you so much for calling in. I wish you would please use your membership card every week. You are totally a member of the cast. You are not a guest, and I hope that you will call in every week with your wonderful Midwestern, down-to-earth sensibility, common sense, and your wisdom, because you are loaded with wisdom. I mean, you are a medical professional. You have seen it all. You have been a brave woman during a 2-year, going on 3-year crisis here, and you have been in the front lines, and we all owe you a debt of immense thanks. And that cannot be underestimated. That's why we went out in New York City every night at 7 p.m. and banged our frying pans to celebrate people like you and, you know, our policemen, our firemen, our garbage collectors, the people stocking the shelves in grocery stores, people wearing helmets and masks and wading into the middle of a hospital with, you know, a disease that was, you know, has nearly killed 1 million Americans now. We're closing in on 1 million Americans slowly. We've slowed it down, but we still are, you know, shocking. Mm-hmm. And it's reared its ugly head again. I mean, now in Pennsylvania, we're starting to go mask up again. You know, I've just had my 4th vaccination. So you are a heroine for many of us. And then thank you, of course, Wayne, for calling in, as always. You're always a member of our family.
I love you. I love Glenn. I love this show. This is such a great segue to get the word out to people around the world. This is important.
Well, thank you. I want to remind you that you have been watching, folks at home, Come Now, Don't Sell, listening to Come Now, Don't Sell. We are a proud member of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. And you are welcome to call in every week that we broadcast. And we couldn't do it without Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, our wonderful, wonderful producer and mentor. Thank you, Gwendolyn, as always.
You're very welcome. Thank you for cheering me up.
And well, that and the whiskey and whatever you've been snorting during the show. Don't think I didn't listen. Believe me. This is Boys and Girls at Home. This is why drugs are not the answer. Nancy Reagan was right about one thing. So anyway, please tune in next week. We love you. And thank you so much to DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, for being our sponsor. And thank you at home. You too. Keep us going. Have a lovely night, everybody. Happy spring.
Good night.